This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Here's Jeremy Bierenbaum and Mike Herzing.
Welcome to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your host, Mike Herzing, along with the awesome Jeremy Bierenbaum. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I hear you went out and got a loan or refinanced the house to go fill up your Tahoe the other day.
Basically had to. I'm thinking about cutting a hole in the floorboard and doing a little Flintstones action or something.
We'll have to talk about that. As a matter of fact, it's crazy. Things on the left coast, and I'm here in Texas. And I tell you what, it's not that much better in Texas. All right. All right, folks, every week we give the automotive news, and it's not good news this week. Interviews, car reviews, and classic car information from our friends at classic.com. So get ready for a fast-paced and expensive hour. It's expensive news this week. You can also catch the show as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, audioboom.com, sportsmapradio.com, and classic.com, C-L-A-S-I-Q.com. We'd really love it if you would subscribe, so that way you don't miss a thing. You know, we have over 300 episodes up
on
audioboom.com.
Awesome.
So it's really cool. It's really have a good time. But we have Russell Shepherd. It's easy for me to say. Russell Shepherd from Michelin on today. He's going to talk tires and how fuel economy can be affected by tires. And they have a different tire for EVs, light trucks, cars, performance cars, you know, everything like that. Like if you've got a truck and you're going to start carrying a camper, pulling a camper, you might need a different tire. So there's a lot of interesting stuff. So my gosh, gas prices. Oh my gosh. That's everybody's story in the news. This Russia thing. What a nightmare. It's affecting everybody. It really is. It's really horrible.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
It's a nightmare, guys. And I tell you what, it's not getting any better. It's going to get worse before it gets any better. But what better way to get us to buy electric cars?
Yeah,
you know, that really makes a big difference on buying electric cars. I tell you what, they're going to get us to buy one no matter what. I have a feeling it's a conspiracy somewhere. All right, hang on, folks. We got a lot more to come with our news and notes segment coming up next. All of it right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. And this is an expensive week. And we're going to try to help you a little bit, get a little bit better fuel economy, about tire pressures and having your car vehicle, you know, vehicle with the clean air filters and all that kind of good stuff. We'll give you a few tips that might help a little bit, save you a few bucks. All right, hang on. We'll be right back right after the break.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Here's Jeremy Bierenbaum and Mike Herzing.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm the guy, Mike Herzing, along with the awesome guy, Jeremy Bierenbaum, the classic car guru. All right, buddy, you ready to talk about some news and notes?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, this is our segment that we catch up on some of the happenings in the auto industry this week, and it's all about gas prices, which is a nightmare. I mean, this stuff with Russia, it just makes it worse because this is my personal opinion. I'm going to get up my soapbox. I think the government's been obviously pushing us a little bit toward electric cars anyway. I know that this is what they want, and I don't know that it's all that horrible anyway. They've been kind of canceling oil leases, and they've been doing not going to drill on public lands, and they're going to do this stuff. So it's kind of slowing the oil industry down and pushing us toward renewable, which is okay, and electric cars, which is okay, although I think electric cars really needs a couple more years for it's really, I would be invested in it, you know.
I think I'm right there with you, especially in infrastructure as well, too. I mean, it's nice that, you know, you can charge from home, but the infrastructure is still growing.
Well, you're right. And then these new solid state batteries and these new aluminum ion batteries and all the stuff that are going to be able to charge quicker and last longer and all these other stuff. Because I've got friends that have, you know, a 10-year-old Prius that they're going to have to put in a really expensive battery in. And now they're kind of whining, or the batteries get to be 6 or 8 years old and they're not bad per se, but they don't last near as long. Kind of like your cell phone battery that's 3 or 4 years old and it doesn't even last all day anymore kind of thing. But I'm getting off on the subject, but you know, right now gas prices, and even where I am at, they're $3.89 a gallon in Texas. Where you're at, they're obscene.
We're in the 550 range, 560s right now.
And that's Southern California. That's not that's Northern. Southern. Yeah.
Yeah. Northern California, you get up into 582 in Humboldt.
Yeah. And so, guys, I mean, when you think about the poor guys that are driving 18-wheelers, the people like you, you guys auction classic cars. All right. So when you go and get the classic car, you have to ship it.
Right.
That truck driver now is paying twice as much for fuel. Not twice as much, but, you know, 40% more for fuel than he used to. He would buy it for $3 a gallon or $3.10, and now he's paying $5 or $6.
Yeah.
For fuel. That's killer. And just think about, you're buying gas. Those tankers get horrible fuel economy, and they're having to pay so much more for fuel to get the fuel to the gas station. And then how about the tankers that get the oil to the refineries? And, of course, we're canceling pipelines. And the people that hate pipelines, I understand when the pipeline has a leak, it's a bad thing. But when a tank, because if we don't carry it by pipeline, we've got to carry it by tanker. And then we've got a mess on the highways if they crash. But if they don't crash, we've still got congestion on the highways. I'd love to not see any tankers on the highways anymore, or fewer of them.
Well, and you think about not even just the congestion, but the use of tires and sure. and oil and all of it and on our roads, the weight and everything. It's a big strain.
Sure. Sure it is. And so, folks, people don't always think about that, or think of the tankers that grab the fuel from the oil from drag it from Saudi Arabia or Russia, what it takes to get these tankers, how much fuel and oil it takes to get the tankers here. It probably takes as much as it's in the tanks almost. But so, yeah, we need to start. We've got lots of it here in Texas. If they'll just let us get it out of the ground, if they quit canceling the leases. And I know the president earlier this week said we've got 9,000 leases out there. And I've got friends in the oil industry that kind of jump up and go, wait a minute, that's just a lease to explore and see if the oil is there. That's not making sure it's there and see if it's worth getting it and it's the right stuff. And okay, then when we get the oil, we've got to have a byproduct of gas and a couple other things coming out of the ground. What are we going to do with that? And can we, you know, so you can't just flip a switch on and say, okay, let's just start pumping it again. We've right. got to figure out, we got to hire the people because right now nobody wants to work. And we've got to get all of the equipment out there. Of course, it costs more to get all these diesel trucks out there to bring all the workers. And it's tough. The industry was kind of slowed down with all of the emissions and EPA and all the things that the new administration kind of put in front of them. And I don't blame them. Okay. We want a cleaner air. We all want better environment. We all want, you know, a better, less global warming and all that stuff. We got to do that. But then again, when everybody has $5 and $6 and $7 and $8 gasoline, like they've had in Europe for years, we're all going to go back and scream. I promise you, Jeremy, when the midterm elections come up, you know, this thing is going to be a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be one of the contentious items for sure.
And then every year in the summer, they blend the fuel different. I don't know how many different blends there are of fuel across the country. There's several different blends. You know, there's emissions and non-emissions, and you guys in California have a whole different fuel. If a fuel truck tried to drive from Texas to California, you guys would arrest them because
yeah.
you don't allow that you know, horrible fuel that's in other states to make it into sunny California.
It's kind of crazy, all the rules and regulations that go on with it. And people just assume that everyone's getting the same gas and it's the same pump to pump, state to state. But it's really different and it makes it really difficult.
Yeah, it's not the same fuel between Houston and Waco. I mean, where we are. I mean, I can go 50 miles north of Houston and it's a different fuel than Houston. Or Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and I think Austin have the same fuels. Everywhere else in Texas has a different fuel because we're in emissions county.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so if your county is, and then the adjoining counties have the same fuel, but the counties on the other side of them don't. So it has to do with the blends and everything else. So they have all these different blends. I remember several years ago, we had a fuel shortage from a refineries or some kind of refinery problem, a big fire on the East Coast or something. And I think it was Bush or one of the presidents. They said, wait a minute, let's just suspend these blending things. And so all these other refineries could also didn't have to switch over, didn't have to do these things. And they just went to like two different fuel blends instead of multiples. And it dropped the price of fuels and it facilitated a much more production. And that sure made it a lot easier. And they just did it for a little while. It didn't destroy the world, and Bambi didn't pass out and things like that. And we were okay.
Am I correct to say that, you know, modern cars, they can't tell the difference, or they can tell the difference and they adjust accordingly to the different blends.
Right.
But it's not much of a difference that you're noticeable in speed, power, anything like that.
No, they'll run better actually on the other blends. But
yeah,
small engines will run much better on the other blends. But and boat motors and things like that. But you know, people are going to go, I'm going to go jump and get a Prius and things like that. But if your car is paid for, I mean, the people that go and I'm going to go buy little cars now, tiny cars, this is a temporary thing. It always is.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go buy a tiny car and sell yours for a loss, you're being short-sighted.
It doesn't make sense, especially what we've been talking about, you know, week over week, what's going on with the new car market. And, you know, to go out and buy a Prius that's 5 years old, I don't think you're doing yourself a justice.
No, you're not. And it's kind of like stepping over a dollar to pick up a dime.
As my dad
used to say. But also, don't forget, there aren't any cars to go out there and buy. It didn't like say, I'm going to go out and buy a Tesla, but there aren't any.
There aren't. And yeah, and then if you do find one, you're paying over, you're paying more money. It's not solving your problem. You might be using less gas, but dollars out of your pocket is going to be the same, if not more.
And then to produce that electricity, we're going to have to do, we're doing things that we shouldn't have with natural gas and things like that. Right now, hydrogen is a great idea, but we're having to use so much natural gas to produce hydrogen. But they've got new green hydrogen coming along. We've got new solar stuff, but we're a few years from that. So guys, hang on. We're just a couple years away from really having a big difference. With electric cars and things like that, it's almost here. 2 years from now, we're going to make some big differences. And now's the time to go lease one if you want one. You know, lease one, and in 2 years, we're going to be in a really good position. And I would be interested in buying a hybrid or something like that if you give me 2 years. I mean, that's exactly
what I did. I ended up leasing a plug-in for my fiance because I was reading so much about these new solid-state batteries and the benefits of them. For someone who keeps a car for a long time, I wanted to wait for the newer technology.
No kidding. It's going to be fun. All right, folks, we have our car review. I've been driving a 2022 Jeep Grand Cherokee, not the L, the standard Grand Cherokee. And we've got some classic car news, and we're going to continue this conversation. But the Grand Cherokee I was driving had a night vision camera in the dash.
Oh, fun.
You know, oh God, it was so nice. It was so cool. And it even has an animal detection. Let them hit the brakes if you see animals, stuff like that. All right. You listen to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, Jeremy Berenbaum right here. Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Be right back after the break.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Here's Jeremy Berenbaum and Mike Herzing.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. Mike Herzing, Jeremy Berenbaum. My review this week is the 2022 Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland. Now, this is not the new Jeep Grand Cherokee L, which is the longer three-row version. This is a standard Jeep Grand Cherokee they've been making for years. This is the new body style, the new generation of it. You know, it's funny is they've been making this size for so many years, and then they came out with the longer version, and then they came back out with the shorter version because everybody wanted it. It was real funny. They stopped building it because they couldn't have any chips or anything. And then the longer one is great, but people still wanted, we used to call it a 5'8" size. You know, not everybody wanted a vehicle as big as a Tahoe. Nobody wanted, you know, an Expedition. They wanted something a little bit smaller. And the Grand Cherokee was always the right size. some people needed the third row, and they came out with the L version for that. But this is great, and it's got all of the – it's so high-tech. You know, it's still, you know, got the V6, the V8, or a diesel. You know, it's still got the 8-speed transmission. It's still got, you know, ZF transmission. It's bulletproof. Still all the Jeep four-wheel drive capability. You can get it all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. You can even, I think, get it still two-wheel drive. But it's still got the capability of a Jeep. You can buy it, you know, as a trail rated, which will go up to like 30 inches of water. You can still do all the stuff. It is still so luxurious. I mean, this thing is so beautiful. The pleated seating, and it's leather, and it's heated and cooled seats, and the back seats are heated, and the front seats have massage seating, and it has waterfall and rock climbing and all the different type of massaging, and it feels so good when you're on the road for a long time, and you can adjust the seats so well. And for this year, they've added Macintosh audio system. You get 19 speaker Macintosh audio system. Remember the Macintosh from the 70s and 80s, Jeremy? I'm sure your dad has this kind of stuff, but had the little audio analog meters and stuff. You can get those up on the dash. They've done so many things with this vehicle. I mean, you can reconfigure the instrument cluster, which is a big deal. And it's got, you can shrink down the speedometer and tachometer. And in the center, and it's a big unit, in the center, this one had a night vision cameras. And I can sit there going because I have my goat in my lake house, it's out in the middle of the country, and there's a lot of problem with deer.
I've been out in Texas at night. It's scary with how many deer are on the road.
Well, there's a lot of states that way. Even Michigan, lots of states. You're out in the country, there's a lot of varmints out there, a lot of animals. And it has animal detection. It will stop you. It will hit the brakes for you and things like that. You know, the same type as pedestrian detection. But because of the night vision, it can see. And it's the coolest thing. You know, it really is. And it works. I'm going to post. I have some stuff posted on Facebook, some pictures I took in the evening as you're driving. It's kind of cool. You can reconfigure the everything. It's so many ways you can configure the instrument cluster. It's really kind of cool to play with. You could do all kinds of different things. And then they got a nice little in the front of the front seat passenger, there's a 10.3-inch display that's embedded into the dashboard. And the driver can't really see it because it's at an angle set up where the driver can't see it. And you can actually set it up where you can see it if you're stopped, okay? But the driver, as you're going, you know, the law says you can't really see that thing. And the passenger can watch Apple TV. They can watch YouTube. They can watch anything on their phone that they want to watch on the screen as they're cruising along. It's kind of cool. And then also, you know, in the back, you can watch stuff like that, the back seats.
That's always my favorite as a driver, that everyone else gets to be entertained and I get to hear all the sounds, but I can never see it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. They've got so many things, you know, and for now, they've made this Jeep in about 7 or 8 different ways, you know, different trim levels. And it starts, you know, in the $30,000 range, and it can go this up into the 60s. But and everybody probably buys these things more in the 60s. Most people buy them. But the Summit, it's actually right up into the low 60s. You can get it, like I said, with the 3.6-liter V6, which is the one I had that. 293 horsepower. You can get it with the V8 with 357 horsepower. It's just awesome. It's just such a nice vehicle. They sell so many of these things. As a matter of fact, somebody's worried about fuel economy. Says the city is 1721 is the highway, and combined is 1721 is highway, 14 is city for the V8. It says here 26 is highway. Let's see, 19 city, 22 combined, 26 highway for the V6. It's about right. top speed 120 miles an hour, and it gets there quickly. It has all the safety stuff. As a matter of fact, it comes standard with adaptive cruise control, standard with lane departure warning and lane keeping assist, standard automatic emergency braking, pedestrian detection. Ours had the camera you can see all around. If you're backing up to your trailer, it brings you up right up to the trailer, hooks it up. Excuse me. Ours had air suspension. So when you, and you can back up to the trailer and then lift up on it. It was so cool. And also, oh, that's awesome. You cruise down the freeway, it would drop it down and it'd give you better fuel economy.
For anyone thinking about these, I'm looking at the build simulator online. You know, right. I don't know what your local dealership has available, but this is really awesome. You can do, you can show it in any color and any interior option with all the different rim packages. So that's really nice. If you don't have the ability to go see one in person, you can kind of pick it and build it out for yourself.
Well, nowadays everybody is doing that, and then they just go to the dealer and pick it up nowadays. I mean, it's just, that's how the people are buying these vehicles. So folks, if you're thinking about a Tahoe or Telluride or something like that, everybody measures their vehicles by Jeep. And that's how you do it. And they hold up. They're reliable. They're fun. And, you know, the Grand Cherokee is one of the people that everybody measures about. Now, if that's not big enough for whatever for you, they certainly have, they have now, they have the Wagoneer and the Grand Wagoneer. So check it out. 2022. And they've changed it direct. The bodies, the platform is all changed. It's neater. It's cooler. It's stiffer. It rides better. It's quieter than 2021. So it's different. So check it out. All right, Jeremy. On classic.com, got a lot of cool cars.
We got a lot of cool stuff going on.
I saw you had a lot of neat stuff go out last week, and I was kind of bummed. I couldn't bid on anything. I'm just, you know, gosh, I posted stuff, a couple things on Facebook that I thought were really cool. And I thought, you know, you had that really wild looking pickup truck that had the Dayglo paint job and things like that. I really like that. But you've got so many cool vehicles. I mean, guys and folks, this is such a good time to buy a vehicle. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we got a lot of cool stuff. I think as a buyer, it's a great time. You know, I got a little bit of negotiation.
Well, there's some people out there that are trying to, you know, bail out of stuff. And so I hate to say it's a little predatory, but this is a good time to buy.
This one's for you. We got a 64 Jeep DJ3A. It's one of those little tiny Jeeps, the like a dispatcher.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And those are inexpensive too.
No, it seems like a fun little car if you're in a small little town that's easy to get around. It's a great Palm Springs car in my mind. And then we have a cool REO Speedwagon, an REO Touring from 1912 that's just like a family heirloom, and the story on it is just really cool. It's still got its wood wheels and everything, so that's a pretty fun one.
Wow, I mean, you've got so many cool things and so much stuff happening. I would just love to be able to find what I would really like to find is one of the, they only made a few of them, is the Jurassic Park Jeeps.
You know, in LA, you see them every once in a while. I can't say to their originality. I think that's one of those things that people like putting the stickers on.
Well, you've got an 87 Silverado there that's just black and it's beautiful. You even have a Toronado, which you don't see that often. 67 Mustang Coupe. You got a lot of cool stuff, Jeremy. It really is.
Yeah.
All right. You know, folks, check out CLASIQ.com. And I see that DJ3A. Those are nice. All right, folks, check it out. And we're going to talk to the folks from Michelin next, Russell Shepherd. I don't know why I have trouble with his first name, Russell Shepherd, and we talk from Michelin, and we're going to have a lot of interesting stuff. So hang on for that. Mike Kersing, Jeremy Bierenbaum, Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Be right back after the break.
Listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Here's Jeremy Bierenbaum and Mike Herzing.
Welcome back, everybody, to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your host, Mike Herzing, along with Jeremy Berenbaum from Classic.com. Okay, folks, today we're going to talk about tires. We've got Russell Shepherd. He's from Michelin. This guy knows everything about tires. So, Russell, welcome to Let's Talk Wheels, buddy, and we're going to pick your brain today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I don't know if you're going to be wanting to be glad after we get through with this. Well, we're going to talk about tires. You know, everybody wants good fuel economy, and I'm looking at your website, michelinman.com, and folks, you got to check this thing out. More, everybody wants better fuel economy, especially now with gasoline so expensive. So some people have cars, some people have EVs, some people have trucks and SUVs, but you've got a different tire for every person, every vehicle.
Right.
Do a little quick overview on their difference and why.
So I love the way you say that. We have, there's a combination of two things that you consider with tires. There are the vehicles and there are the people. And so you are right. We have a different tire for every vehicle and person. So there are large categories that I can talk about. There's all season tires, winter tires, depending on your audience. It's about time to take off the winter tires and then consider going to an all season tire or even a summer tire. Okay. And we can talk about that. And then it depends on what type of vehicle you have. If you've got a Ford F-150, certainly F-250, you've got a different type of tire than if you're driving in a Corvette, right? Okay. Because there's different type of usage and that sort of thing. So it depends on the type of vehicle you have and the type of person you are. And, you know, making sure that we have all that incorporated is what we do. And I have fun doing it, actually. So.
Well, I know they make low rolling resistance tires and they make this and they that, you know, a vehicle that's like a Prius, which kind of for some of our listeners might be kind of like the Antichrist, some of these people do own them and they, you know, they're not a bad car. And if you right now, those people are kind of laughing at us that have pickup trucks, but, you know, they take a different tire than a regular SUV, right?
Yeah, definitely. So if you talk about a vehicle like a Prius and you're very interested in low rolling resistance, which equates to battery life, and we can really talk about that for fully electric vehicles, if you like, we make tires, they're called OE specific tires, OEM tires, that are specifically designed for that vehicle. And when we do that, one of the things that we focus on is getting the lowest rolling resistance. Now, what is that? That is the reason a tire doesn't continue to go, or the reason why you have to keep your foot on the gas when you're trying to go at the same speed due to the battery. So the tire actually contributes to how far you go and how much fuel efficiency you get. And that's different between a regular internal combustion engine and these newer EVs. We can talk about that. So when we make tires for OEMs, we really focus on that. Because that's very important to in general to vehicle manufacturers. And it's particularly important if you're buying a hybrid or especially a battery electric vehicle. So the OE tires that we make that come with the Michelin OE tires that come with it, those are specially designed for that. So if you decide, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So what I'm understanding is if I own a EV car versus a truck, when I go to look for new tires, I'm not just putting the tire size, the rim size. I should actually be searching for my vehicle specific tires, because I could get tires that are same size, but designed for a different vehicle.
Well, designed for a different purpose. If you really, really are satisfied and really love the performance of the vehicle you bought new, you bought this vehicle new and you really loved it, then go with that Michelin OE product. Whether it be for a pickup truck or a Prius, for example, because we've designed it for a specific set of performances that are tuned to that vehicle. And even in a pickup truck today, you know, an OE pickup truck is designed for better fuel economy, the OE tire. Now, if you want better off-road traction, then you might switch that off and put something like a BF Goodrich KO2 on there, for example. So,
which is your cousin, which yes. is your company too.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a little bit more a different off-road pedigree. I understand that. But, you know, I understand. I went to a launch the other day, I mean, a couple of years ago, of the new Ford Explorer, which is now an older Ford Explorer. And you guys had a specific tire for the Explorer because they didn't want to put a jack and stuff in the back. So it was, I think it was the hybrid, and they wanted to put the battery back there where the jack went and the spare mm-hmm. went. And you guys had a tire that when you ran over a nail, which with all yes. the construction going around, nails are everywhere, it sealed itself. And it was yeah. really cool. I mean, so kind of explain how you have a self-sealing tire.
So that's really great. That's cool. So there is a product on the inside of the tire that sits on the inner liner that goes all the way around. And if you get a puncture, that product is viscous enough or fluid enough that it actually will hold whatever's in place, or if it comes out, it'll seal it so that it will flow. And that allows you to pretty much maintain the air pressure. Now, once you find that out, we still recommend that you go in and get it inspected and possibly repair. And you can repair these tires. But that's the whole purpose, is to really make the driving experience and challenge that we have with punctures go away. And that's specifically designed for punctures in what we call the summit or the tread part, which is where most of the air losses come from. So yeah, there's a product inside a tire that's designed for that.
That is so cool. Jeremy?
That's such a great feature, especially for someone like me in Los Angeles, who's just like, I feel like my tires are magnetic to everything on the road. Just sometimes I'm getting punctures all the time.
Well, so that's a great feature that I think consumers really appreciate.
Well, are there any new products that Michelin has coming out right now that our listeners should be aware of?
There are products in the works. Stay tuned, have us back, and we can talk about those.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you talked earlier about winter tires and summer tires. Now, I'm not in a lot of snow, okay, because I'm in Texas. Jeremy is not in a lot of snow unless he drives up the Tahoe, which is not very often. Okay.
But I end up having to do it 3-4 times a year. And then when you do it, you have to have the tires that are going to get you there. At least something that's all season, but a lot of times they close the road, or excuse me, not all season, but mud or snow, because right. they close the roads and they actually check.
Yeah. But it's not like living in an area where, like in Minnesota, where 60% of the time it's going to be snow. So I mean,
correct.
Those
my friends in the mountains, they switch tires.
Yeah. Yeah, they switch tires. So explain to the folks why you would have to switch tires.
Sure. So I understand. I've lived in Texas. I've lived in Florida, and I've lived in Michigan. So I understand both technically and personally. There are tires, we call them summer tires. They are really made for temperatures no less than about, let's say, 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And they are excellent and dry and wet, okay? But they lose those great traction properties at those lower temperatures, okay?
Okay.
These are tires that you'll put if you want to have your max times when you're on a track or something. Very good for that. You'll see these quite often in sports cars.
Okay.
If you need to go in any condition where it gets colder, especially if you're coming in ice, then you need, if it's occasional, you need an all-season tire. And what that is the tread and the rubber are designed for traction in snow, okay. light snow conditions. Okay. Now, if you're going to the mountains and you're getting into deep snow, or you're getting it more often, and especially if you're dealing with ice, then there's actual winter tires. Okay.
Okay.
And they typically have this marking, 3-peat mountain snowflake. And those are designed to operate in really cold temperatures, like 0 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit. And the treads are designed to actually grip the snow and actually deal with situations like wet ice.
Okay. Do they wear?
So different types of rubber. They all have excellent wear. And actually, our best wearing tires are all season tires. So no, we know how to formulate for that. Now, I wouldn't recommend you use a winter tire in the summer.
Right.
It's just not made for that.
I'm saying that does that hurt them a little bit?
Well, the wet traction, for example, of a winter tire is excellent in colder weather. As you go into warmer weather, you get your better wet traction from a summer tire.
Okay.
And so really to give you the performance that you want, if you're putting a winter tire on around April, which is soon, you need to pull off that winter tire and put on an all season or summer tire.
Got it.
Yeah, as we see people coming out of the winter right now, I think that's what are on people's minds.
Got it. You know, this is pretty cool. This is good stuff. Now, you guys have so many tires. The Pilot, you know, if you're a sports guy, car guy, your tires, you've got Latitude series, you've got so many different Pilot versions of it. Oh my gosh.
So let's talk about the Pilot family.
Okay.
So we have the Pilot Sport 4S, that's that summer fitment that I'm talking mm-hmm. about. And that's what you're going to find on your sports cars. If you really want to have great traction, dry and wet, you just really want to have a good time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Be safe on public roads. I'll say that. If you want a tire that you don't have to take off in the winter, we have the Pilot Sport All Season 4.
Okay.
And that gives you really good traction. As a matter of fact, it's actually, there's a Pilot Sport All Season 4 that's OE on a Corvette. And it can do 1G of acceleration. Yeah. Now, we talked earlier about electric vehicles. We actually have mm-hmm. the Pilot Sport EV. So that is a tire made for your W and Y speed rated vehicles. That's what we're talking about in that Pilot right. family. That's designed for that great traction as well as lower rolling resistance. So you're going to see that Pilot Sport EV more and more, certainly on electric vehicles, as time goes on. It's really about that family, that Pilot family.
Well, it seems to me that EVs, either you're accelerating or when you decelerate, you know, it reverses the engine to regenerate. So it's almost like hitting the brakes all the time. So it's either accelerating, which is causing a lot of traction issues, or decelerating, which is causing traction issues. I would think that it's never really coasting very much. And so I would think you would have tire wear if you didn't have a specially designed tire for that.
So, you know, let's talk about tire wear on EVs. There are two things to think about with tire wear. First of all, an electric vehicle, you take this heavy cast aluminum or cast iron engine out mm-hmm. and the transmission, and you replace it with one, two, or four motors and batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, the batteries, on average, electric vehicles about 10% heavier,
okay?
Which means they can increase the wear by up to 20%. So all things equal, electric vehicles are heavier. There's even a new standard of tire
right.
called high load capacity tires for that.
Ah.
Then okay. you add into it the additional torque that they have.
Right.
I mean, electric vehicles have a lot of acceleration torque, but you can get that out of internal combustion engine. But you're right. When they're operating in that fuel, that best, most efficient mode, you take your foot off the quote unquote gas. It's not gas anymore.
Right.
And you're actually doing that regenerative braking. Now, the trick is, what mode are you driving in and how was the regenerative braking distributed between front and rear versus the mechanical braking?
Right.
And those are a couple of factors that vary from one vehicle to another.
Yep.
And
I will burn the tires off. I will burn the tires off.
Probably with a smile, though. I mean,
that's right.
So whether you burn the tires off with an electric vehicle or a high-end Corvette or Mustang or Porsche,
yep.
it's the same torque as far as acceleration, right?
I love Michelin. Russell, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today. You were so much fun to have.
I'm glad to be here.
I want to have you back again. I really appreciate everything you've done for us, and we're going to pick your brain some more, whatever's left of it. How's that?
Good deal.
All right, folks. That was Russell Shepherd from Michelin. Mike Herzing, Jeremy Berenbaum. After this short break, we'll be right back with more Let's Talk Wheels right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Here's Jeremy Berenbaum and Mike Herzing.
Welcome back. Let's Talk Wheels. Mike Herzing, Jeremy Berenbaum. Hey, folks, podcast. We're going to talk a little about if you buy a car with the shipping prices, and you're going to get better, good deals. We're going to give you some ideas about how to get it to you without costing you a bunch of money. So don't forget, you can catch the Let's Talk Wheels podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom, Sports Map Radio, and Classic.com. That's CLASIQ.com. That way you get to hear our bonus segment on the podcast where we have an extra car review. And we also talk more about classic cars. So be sure to subscribe. Remember that you can find Let's Talk Wheels on letstalkwheels.com, Facebook, and on Instagram as Let's Talk Wheels SBN. So, Jeremy, what do you think about? How's your auction site holding up with all this weird stuff going on?
You know what? It's been good. You know, we find people every day that are looking for help trying to sell their cars. You know, it's not something that people do all the time. So when they get someone that can give them some experience, some help, tell them which way to take some photos, we got the videos, which are really helpful. We hear that all the time. Like, hey, you know, we really appreciate that you make everyone do these walk around videos of their cars. It just tries to help people.
That's right, it does. All right, folks, on behalf of Jeremy Barenbaum, our producer, Sean Mapes, and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. I'm Mike Herzing, and that's Jeremy Barenbaum. We're going to talk to you next week. And as always, folks, have a great week. And if you want to, hang on for the podcast segment. Mike Herzing, Jeremy Barenbaum, have a great week.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Here's Jeremy Barenbaum and Mike Herzing.
Welcome back. Let's Talk Wheels. Mike Herzing, Jeremy Barenbaum. Hey, folks, podcast. We're going to talk a little about if you buy a car with the shipping prices, you're going to get better, good deals. We're going to give you some ideas about how to get it to you without costing you a bunch of money. So don't forget, you can catch the Let's Talk Wheels podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom, Sports Map Radio, and Classic.com. That's CLASIQ.com. That way you get to hear our bonus segment on the podcast where we have an extra car review. And we also talk more about classic cars. So be sure to subscribe. Remember that you can find Let's Talk Wheels on letstalkwheels.com, Facebook, and on Instagram as Let's Talk Wheels SBN. So, Jeremy, what do you think about? How's your auction site holding up with all this weird stuff going on?
You know what? It's been good. You know, we find people every day that are looking for help trying to sell their cars. You know, it's not something that people do all the time. So when they get someone that can give them some experience, some help, tell them which way to take some photos, we got the videos, which are really helpful. We hear that all the time. Like, hey, you know, we really appreciate that you make everyone do these walk around videos of their cars. It just tries to help people.
That's right, it does. All right, folks, on behalf of Jeremy Barenbaum, our producer, Sean Mapes, and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. I'm Mike Herzing, and that's Jeremy Barenbaum. We're going to talk to you next week. And as always, folks, have a great week. And if you want to, hang on for the podcast segment. Mike Herzing, Jeremy Barenbaum, have a great week.
Hey guys, this week I had the pleasure of driving a 2022 Santa Fe Hybrid. This was the limited all-wheel drive that I actually got to spend quite a bit of time in this vehicle. What I had a chance to do was drive this vehicle from Vegas to Los Angeles for the Super Bowl. Now, this was pretty cool because initially I was supposed to just drive to Los Angeles. I actually had a chance to drive back from Los Angeles as well here to Las Vegas. So I had quite a bit. I had about 8 days in this vehicle, and I really, really liked this vehicle a lot. So I had it in a lagoon blue color with sort of a beige interior, but this thing gets incredible gas mileage, as you'd expect with a Hyundai, with a hybrid, getting over 33 miles per gallon on the highway. You can really open this vehicle up. It's incredibly safe, but the thing about the interiors of these Hyundais, they just do such a great job of making everything so convenient and easy and right where you want it. Apple CarPlay standard makes it really easy when you're driving around. It has wireless charging that's really pretty cool. It's like a little slot inside of the console. So like the car, you slide it in, it's away, but it's getting charged. And then it tells you if you get out of the vehicle and the phone is still in the charger, it dings you and says, hey, by the way, your phone's still there, which I think is so, that's incredibly cool and really, really convenient. It's the little things that this vehicle has, like when you take a left or a right and you hit the turn signal inside the actual dash and the speedometer, it turns literally into a camera and you can see either side. Blind spot makes it really easy to not run into anything or to change lanes and somebody happens to be in a blind spot. Makes it very safe, very convenient. Now, the car itself looks tremendous. I love the look of these Hyundais. The Santa Fe really has, it's a roomy vehicle. It's bigger than people think. It's got a sharp design. The grille is really nice. The headlights really stand out, but it doesn't look like a cookie cutter vehicle. It looks unique and it's a 5-star overall safety rated vehicle. So not only do you get the incredible warranty with this vehicle, which is their 5-year, 600,000-mile new vehicle warranty, the Hyundai's got your 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. You also have a hybrid battery warranty that's 10 years for 100,000 miles, which is awesome, but you get the 5-star safety rating. So it's really safe for your family. It's really big and you get a lot of the bells and whistles. Now this thing is coming in just over $41,000. So it's not like it's really a inexpensive vehicle, but if you can get it all the way up to the limited, you get some really cool comfort and convenient packages that they describe it as, where you get the power release for the second row, which is awesome. So if you're in the back and you're trying to figure out how to drop the seats down, two buttons, boom, seats drop down. Very easy to use. You've got your tilt and telescoping steering wheel, which I used quite a bit just as you're driving, you want to move the vehicle around. Your cargo area, which is really big in the back. You've got a 12.3-inch digital instrument cluster, which is really nice because you've got a lot of different things you can use on this vehicle. You can plug in your phone or you can go wireless, which is really cool to have this. You've got your memory driver seat, which just is one button. It goes right to where you want it. You have your heated steering wheel. If you're in this time of the winter, you know, it gets cold and you want to have your steering wheel to be heated. But when you look up in this vehicle, this is where it's a home run. The panoramic sunroof is so big. It's so cool. It slides all the way back. It's got a ton of, you know, headroom to begin with, but then you have this awesome view up above. Really nice 19-inch alloy wheels, which is really nice. And then when you're parking this vehicle, you've got some really cool features. It helps you stay away from any real, you know, rear view monitor, your lane following assist, your highway driving assist, which is really great. Your blind spot collision avoidance, which is awesome. Cross traffic collision. If you're pulling out and you see someone coming left or right, it beeps at you and tells you, hey, stop. The engine is a hybrid engine. You know, you put it in sport mode, it's not the fastest, but it gets the job done. It's not like you're going to be any like lacking for this or going to be like, why is this vehicle moving fast enough? It's a hybrid. So you've got the 0 to 10 mile per hour on electric, and then you punch it and it goes. It's great. There are so many USB outputs on this. And look, you can really charge. It's got a 115 volt AC power outlet, which is awesome for long drives. We were plugging in computers. We were plugging in cameras. We were charging all sorts of stuff on the drive between Las Vegas and Los Angeles. Harman Kardon, awesome premium audio sound system. Just absolutely bangs. Really, really nice. Liked it a lot for sure. Your remote Smart Park. Remember that whole ad campaign? It does have Smart Park. It can actually park your vehicle for you as well if you'd like it to do that. So very cool stuff. Blind view monitor is something that I think every vehicle should have because it's that 360 view all the way around the vehicle. You can see where you're going. It's really nice. I had a ball. I loved this vehicle. This is an SUV for a family that would fit mine. A 2022 Santa Fe Hybrid Limited all-wheel drive. Definitely recommend checking it out.
Jeremy, we want to talk about with the gas prices as being what it is. Of course, it's coming into spring and things like that. This is a great time to have a classic car. You know, it's in the South and Midwest and things like that. It's going to be the nice weather. You don't really have to have a air conditioner and it's fun to drive and, you know, springtime weather and things like that. But shipping prices, if I bought something, I remember buying a car from Oregon, it's cost me $1,500 to ship it. You know, it was a year and a half, 2 years ago. I hate to think what that would cost now.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. And I'll be the first to say that probably thinking of taking a road trip over shipping your car is probably not the most, it's probably not the cheapest way to do it, but it's a lot of fun. I've done this multiple times where I've gone and picked up a car and driven it home over, you know, I would say over 300-400 miles. I've done that probably 5 or 6 times. I've even done a couple day long road trip picking up a car. First, let's kind of talk about, you know, we were talking about gas prices and shipping cars and what it is right now. It's a little high. There are other ways you can kind of think of to try and ship a car. If you're not pressed for time, it's a lot easier. So, you know, when you're looking at a car, if you say to the person, hey, I'm 100% committed to buying it and paying for it, but do you mind holding on to it for a little bit of time while I organize some shipping or figure it out? A lot of sellers are really willing to do that for you.
You know, I know that you can get up. Some of these shippers will have, you know, these car haulers will have an extra load. I mean, they've got a car, you know, if they don't have anything coming this way and it's going to cost you X amount, but they call you and say, I've got a truck coming your way with another load on it. And I've got one vehicle, you know, I've got one spot for one vehicle. If you let me bring yours, then I will charge you 25% less.
And that happens all the time. You know, there's a big car show going on in LA or something, and maybe an auction in Texas, like what's coming up in a month or so. And someone might want to drive out there with a trailer because they know they're going to buy a car, but right, they don't want to drive there with an empty trailer. So they say, hey, if I can make a couple hundred extra bucks shipping a car, you know, I'll take a car instead of an empty trailer. It's a little tough for, you know, Joe Blow out there who's not in the automotive world to kind of find those deals. There are some websites called like UShip, the letter UShip.com. They'll help you set up. Sometimes you can find people that are doing those dead leg trips like that, which is kind of nice. Okay. But you know, as we were kind of mentioning the going out and the experience of driving your car.
Yeah.
You know, I was just telling someone the other day, this is the perfect weather right now to drive a classic car. It's not too hot. You're not putting a lot of strain on the car. You don't need air conditioning. It's really nice and comfortable. At night, you definitely need a blanket or a jacket. But some of the things to think about if you are going to go through that experience, you might want to travel with some tools.
Right.
You might want, you know, just some simple little things, just in case you get stuck on the side of the road to get you to, you know, the closest gas station or repair shop to fix yourself.
Or renew your AAA membership.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them. The other thing I'm always very concerned about, and I make sure ahead of time going out, are tires. I want to make sure that the car has tires that are no more than like 3 years old, to be honest.
Or 5 years. Probably five is probably the
safest. Five is probably the safest you want to be. And that's a big thing, especially, you know, driving a car you're not familiar with. You also want to make sure tire pressure is good. That's the second thing. And then, you know, just get used to the car before you hit the road, you know, maybe drive it a little bit in the town, in the neighborhood. Make sure it's good before you just hit the open road, right?
Well, that's the other thing we were talking about, you know, buying and selling vehicles. If you're not in the industry, and that this is not, you know, let's say these guys have been in the Mustang club for years and years, and it's on his fourth Mustang, and then he's buying and selling a vehicle. They know how to do that. But your right. site was built for people that don't, they're not in that position. My first classic car I bought 7 or 8 years ago, 10 years ago, no, actually, it's way longer than that, but that's the first couple of them that I got was not a real good experience. But also, okay. I bought them from my customers when I had my shop. That wasn't so bad. When I first got my first one off of eBay, let's say about 8 years ago, was not a real good experience. You know, I got it. It had more rust than it supposedly. When he took the pictures, he didn't really take the pictures of all the rust, and it ran great. But till he got it here, and it didn't run great. The guy did bring it for me. I paid him $700. He brought it from Colorado because he happened to be coming here anyway. But it wasn't what I considered. If I had saw it here, I wouldn't have given as much money as I gave for it. You know what
right.
I mean? So did I get a killer deal for it? No. But did I get kind of an okay deal? Yeah. I wouldn't have paid that much for it if I had seen it before. All right. So,
I mean, there are people that buy and sell cars all the time. They're prolific buyers or prolific sellers. Sellers that do that. They know how to market the car in a way. They know how to hide things that are wrong. They know how to highlight things that are great. We're trying to take that out of the equation, be able to show the good and the bad and standardize it in a way that every car has a lot of photos. I think I always say the more photos you can show me, the better, because I start analyzing them from different angles and seeing different parts. That's really helpful. Video is the second thing, you know. It helps you see the things that photos hide, right? You know, the changes in light across the body panels or something like that, how the car sits together. So we really try and provide that, as well as we're in contact with the selling party the whole time, trying to build a picture of this car for you, going out, getting an inspection. So a secondary party is looking at the car, because sometimes people say their car is great. It's not that they're lying, but it's the best car they've had. You know, so all these little things help to build this picture of a car, and it helps for someone that's not buying and selling classic cars all the time to understand what they're getting and be comfortable with their purchase.
I've seen cars on some Facebook sites. You know, I'm a member of a classic Jeep site, and you see these people, and the car's been sitting out. It had weeds growing up through the floorboards, and the guy goes, "I know what I've got. It's a great car. I have no title. It ran 15 years ago when we parked it in my, you know, aunt's backyard. I want $5,000 for it," but she doesn't have a title. And then I can go on the next page, and there's one that drives and runs, and the guy wants $4,000 for it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but somebody's going to buy this guy's car, and I'm just feeling sad for them. You know what I mean?
Totally. There's definitely that sort of buyer education that needs to happen. And on the flip side, you know, we're helping people that are selling their cars that, hey, you know, unfortunately, my dad passed away and this was his car and I want to get 25 grand for it. And it's like, hey, buddy, that car's worth 40 grand. And, you know, we're helping educate them in that way as well, because, you know, for you and I, we're hoping to find those type of deals on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace where you score, you know it. But on the flip side, you know, someone that's selling, we want to make sure that they get the right value for their car.
Sure. And then it has a title, and you know, and it doesn't have one of those engines that nobody can get parts for. I bought a 75 CJ5 one time. Come to find out, you can almost never get parts for that, and you can't get any aftermarket parts. It's one of those strange years that everybody sold parts for all the way up to 74, and then from 76 on, for 75s, nobody built anything for it. So I ended up having to sell it and didn't really make any money off it. And I just realized, and it wasn't a bad Jeep, don't get me wrong, but it was one of those bastard years, you know, and I had some education later on. And so it was one of those I had for a year and a half and wished I'd never bought it. It was one of those things, one of my bad experiences. And if I had seen it, I bought it out of San Antonio and I drove it back, and it was one of those, as soon as I got it home, I wished I was kicked myself in the butt for buying it. But oh well, you know, either way. So all right, Jeremy, so classicsiq.com, folks, check it out. We got a lot of cool vehicles. Matter of fact, since we're talking Jeeps, I got a really neat CJ3, what was it, a sedan, a delivery vehicle?
It's a dispatcher.
There we go. So that's a cool little vehicle to zip around in. Oh, it'd be fun to have on a beach, in a little beach community. It'd be so much fun. Yeah, that'd be, and it's probably going to price out pretty good. And I happen to like the 65 El Camino that's happened to be there, or the 65 Mustang. Those would be mine. But either way, check it out, folks. We've got, all right, so next we're going to talk to Matt Perrault. He has got a couple of reviews. You know, Matt was our longtime a co-host here, and he's also host of the Bostonian versus the Book. So hang on, talk to Matt Perrault with a car review. We got a lot of cool stuff. Thank you for joining us, Jeremy Berenbaum, Mike Herzing. Hang on for Matt next.